Hello everyone, this is Justin with Get Social Leads. Get Social Leads is a digital marketing and virtual assistant company. I want to thank you guys for joining me on this episode where I'm joined by Ryan and my boss, Dan. You've heard Ryan before, Dan's new. He has got some fresh perspective that you know he wants to bring, enlighten us about and talk about his experiences. Before we get into that, guys, let's go over each other's weekends. Ryan, how was your weekend?
It was good.
Yep.
Celebrated my wife's birthday. So, got to hang out Friday night. With some friends. Got to smoke some meat. Got some top sirloin smoke, some chicken. It was pretty good.
I had no idea you were a meat expert.
I'm not a meat expert.
Okay.
I just smoke it.
Yeah.
I just take meat and I look it up on the internet. I'm like, can I smoke this?
You can smoke everything, I hear.
Yeah. Just about. It's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun doing it.
What kind of smoker do you have? Is it like a Weber or?
I think it's a Weber. It's like one of those pod ones. Charcoal.
Okay. Right.
Not electric. I don't cheat. I actually put effort into it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, walk us through the taste, the sensation that you went through as you took a bite of that meat.
I don't know where you want to go with that. It's kind of getting weird now.
Was there smokiness to that meat?
Well, yeah. You're cooking it in smoke, man. Yeah. It's good. I've done tri-tip, I've done ham, I've done, now Angus, top sirloin, I've done freaking ribeye, now I've done chicken. It's pretty good, I like it.
Okay.
And then after that, I think Sunday, we went to the beach for about half a day.
Okay.
And then we just kind of went home and hung out, so it was a good time.
Sounds like a pretty good weekend.
Yeah. We tried to go do other stuff on Sunday, but, we noticed that unlike California, a lot of things close down here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People actually honor the Sabbath around
here. Yeah, they do.
California,
Here in the South.
Yeah, we're here in the South. People are actually religious, not like California. And they're
Those pagan people over
there. So, yeah, that was pretty much my weekend. It was a good time.
Yeah, sounds good. Dan, how was yours?
Not too bad. Just did a lot of cooking and relaxed and slept.
Okay. A lot of recovery from... From Friday.
I'm still sore.
Not as bad as I could have been.
Yeah.
Saturday was rough. My knees did not feel good.
Yeah, I was sore all weekend.
Yeah, so, if you guys don't know what they're talking about, so on Friday they did they ran a couple miles with, military gear, and they got gassed. So, they had to put their gas mask on, and at that point it was noon already, right? Close to noon, so it was like 80 something degrees already.
With like 100%
humidity. 100%
humidity
here in wonderful eastern North Carolina, and they're marching, running their way back. So
I didn't mind the morning though. That was good.
Yeah.
But so, I'm still dying.
Yeah. So they obviously felt that. In my weekend, Saturday, I did a little shopping. For the listeners out there, I don't think I've mentioned it at all, but I'm getting ready for a little trip to Japan. So my wife has huge anxiety getting on planes to begin with. So some of the things to help mitigate that anxiety is she got headphones. That way she can listen to that and take her mind off of the flight. So she got that. I got myself a pair of sunglasses. No, you don't need it to fly a plane or get on a plane to go to Japan, but hey, you got to make a statement when you get off that plane in Japan.
Look good, feel good.
Yeah, exactly. In all seriousness, the area of Japan I'm going to, it's very tropical, very sunny. So I wanted to invest in a decent pair of sunglasses. And then yesterday, friends came over, primarily more of my wife's friends, they're partying it up. I played a couple games of cornhole and had old man conversations with other folks, and that pretty much sums up my Sunday, where I wish I would have slept at a better time, but just getting pumped up for this podcast we got going on here.
When do you leave?
It took me a little longer. So it's supposed to be the first week of July, but we'll see how that goes. Trying to lock on flights. Guys, so let's move on to our topics. The reason why we're here today. So We're going to discuss different topics, but first topic that we're going to cover is what it's like being in that leadership position where there's a huge, I don't say huge, but where there's an age disparity, you know. In some cases, you know, it's very common to see, you know, 5, 10, 15 years in the military. In the civilian sector, I'd say if you're going back in time, in a time machine, corporate America, you know, the pretty much the 90s and before that, I'd say you'd always see an older person leading a company or in leadership positions. Military, it's always been a thing. You always have, you know, young officers come in and they're expected to lead, and they do, they've been doing quite a, you know, a good job. You know, they haven't tried to fix a system, you know, there's nothing that's broken. And it's because we have a great way of, you know, molding young officers, and, you know, they become great, exceptional leaders. So Dan, we're going to bring you in. I just want you to kind of enlighten us on your experiences, you know, starting day one, and how do you feel things have changed, you know, since day one up to this point now?
Day one was a very awkward experience.
Tell us why.
I had no context as to what I was coming into.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who I replaced gave me about a 3-hour turnover, because that's kind of all he could give me, because he was about to move on himself, and was like, here's my take on what you're coming into, and I said, okay.
Yeah.
And that was day one, and I think within like the first 3 days, I generally met just about everybody. I made it a really big point for myself to meet as much of the staff as I could meet at one time. There's obviously like some extenuating circumstances where they were either at like schools or and whatnot, but I made it a point to try and meet each and every one of them as quickly as possible and try and establish that relationship. The biggest thing that I found difficult in the very beginning and still find difficult to this day, even though it's better now, is establishing trust. A lot of people come in and say, oh, you can trust me, you can trust me, you can trust me. And then as soon as that first like incident comes up, they burn them.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens, unfortunately, way more than it should. And sometimes there's just things that just happens. But a lot of the times, if you don't do that, and you actually take the time to work with those individuals and establish that trust. And everyone's got a different way that they have to establish trust with each other. The way I establish trust with one person is not the same way they're going to establish trust with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's just how it works.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of probe it, take your time. I like to learn and observe very slowly. And that's primarily how I like to establish trust. I didn't go in there and do what some people in my position like to do and just go in and just, I want to do everything that I want to do.
Establish dominance.
Yeah, establish dominance.
Right.
And just literally that, like, just to, like, dominate and make it known that, like, I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm the boss, and it's just not a good way to go. I generally understood my position from the get-go in that I am basically a liaison from the higher-up in our company,
mm-hmm,
to the senior enlisted in our element.
Mm-hmm.
And that is primarily it. Anything else that I can do is just a bonus.
Right.
So being in the field that I am and not knowing realistically very much about maintenance is... anything I can pick up along the way is just extra, but my primary job is to make sure that I am the correct liaison in between our ultimate boss and the company itself, and let alone our unit.
Right.
And that's primarily where I try to not deviate from, even though I have sometimes in the past, and I've gone both ways.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've had a turnover, day one. Can you kind of like walk us through exactly how it feels like, when you met Edgar? You know, he's you said 15 years. I think you said he's got like 15 years on you. Mm-hmm. So did that feel, intimidating at all, or how was that? Like, what was your expectation and what was his expectation? Can you kind of walk us through?
It was honestly very professional the entire time, and that's a very fortunate thing that I walked into. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman who I replaced informed me that he was extremely professional and extremely easy to work with, and that kind of gave some nice assistance. And me and Edgar talked for that first day probably for almost 2.5 hours.
Oh wow.
Like just after I checked in, like I only planned on just talking to him for like 30 minutes, but we just ended up just kept talking.
Right.
Just getting to know each other a little bit and kind of feeling each other out, like the bare bones, feeling each other out. So coming into that was, I don't want to say easy, because it's never easy just walking into a situation blind and not knowing like how your boss works, not knowing how like your number two works. Mm-hmm. And trying to figure out the weird relationship that and the kind of gamesmanship you have to play with that. But thankfully in this situation, and honestly in every situation that I've walked into thus far in my career, I've been extremely blessed to have, I hate using the word subordinate because it means like that just sounds like they're below me, but like people that I work with, that are very accommodating. Yeah. And willing to help me to learn.
Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting that you say that you don't like using, subordinates. You like using people I work with, because it brings a huge, team environment, dynamic, to the setting.
It does seem like kind of a vulgar word, subordinate. Even if you say like extend it out, say people that work underneath me.
Yeah.
I mean, even that doesn't sound the greatest, but it sounds better than subordinate.
Yeah.
I know I've used it before.
Yeah.
But technically, we're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's very like the technical term, and like especially in like how our rank structure works. Like,
yeah.
It's just like weird.
Yeah. But where we work at our team, I think it feels just like that, like a team.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're up in the skybox and barking orders or anything. It just feels like, hey, we're working together. And I think because of that, you're getting a lot of productivity. Obviously, every situation dictates. Right now you got people on the team that we're all working together. But other people walk into nightmares where, some guys are. For every little thing that they'll fight tooth and nail, and it becomes very difficult.
You could walk into your next situation without an Edgar.
Yeah.
Somebody that's going to be completely difficult. That's the tough part about our job.
Yeah.
And you have no, like someone in my position, you have no idea whether or not they're good or not.
Yeah.
If they're just kind of playing you the entire time. Yep. Because you clearly don't know anything.
Right.
That either are good, or like even in our position where they're just assholes.
Yeah.
I guess like the best term to put it. We're doing a whole change of command today. Mm-hmm. Some people are excited about it, but at the end of the day, some people don't have the experience to really realize you don't know what it's gonna be like.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You don't know if it's gonna be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will complain about their bosses or people above them tooth and nail, but then when it comes down to it and they change over, you don't know if it's gonna be worse. Like when that man in that office took over, people were excited about the previous person leaving. Mm-hmm. I kept keeping in mind, like, I don't know. I mean, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
And I try to gain as much intel as I can to prep the battlefield, but you don't know.
Yeah. I've
seen it. That's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. And something that, we've all seen, and just seen the huge change that could happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't notice it, but that just happens because they might have the same personality as the other person. Anyway, I wanted to, Dan mentioned some points. It kind of goes with an article I was reading, because sometimes we do things without really thinking about what it is that we're walking into. For example, like if you're leading others with a huge age disparity, but just leadership in general, I think, you know, especially Ryan, me and you, we've been in a couple years, you know.
Yeah.
A little over a decade for me. I don't know about you, but.
I've reached the hilltop.
Yeah. But, you know, for some of us, it's something that we've been doing. Like, we really don't think about the small little details that kind of help you do it. But to point it out for our listeners, some of the things that you want to do is walk in with an open mind. And, Dan, you definitely done that, you know, coming into the office. I never got the feeling like, hey, it's my way or the highway. It's more like you've listened a lot. And we worked, you know, and it's a two-way communication. You know what I'm saying? You tell me what your expectation is. I go over mine and we talk about the mission and how exactly we're going to accomplish that mission. And it's been huge. We've already done some field exercises, which, you know, they're big scale as far as like the visibility goes and, you know, done pretty well there. And then, be confident. This is a hard part, especially. You walked in again, just haven't really been in that field before, but you've shown everything. What do you think has helped you come in with that mindset of, you know, at least showing face, like that you're pretty confident in what you're doing?
Honestly, I don't even think of it in that way
right.
at all. I am who I am, and I think for me, a lot of it and comes down to admitting when you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, for prime example, I was wrong, and Ryan had thankfully took the time to point it out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we settled it, and that was that.
Right.
And there's multiple other times where I've totally been wrong, and that people have taken the time to be like, all right, slow down, use some tactical patience, assess the situation, and then just move on.
Right.
And sometimes you make the same mistake again. It's inevitable.
Right.
Like, especially for me, someone who has to learn by getting beaten over the head, like 1,000 times just to finally figure it out after learning each individual lesson kind of the hard way. But I guess that's kind of just how I've always done things. And if that comes off as confidence, that's great.
Yeah.
It's never been my goal to be like, I'm going to exude confidence, because sometimes that is just fake, in my opinion. And the people who work with us have an exceptional radar for fakeness.
Yeah.
And they can 100% tell, especially when someone is not experienced in this field. And if I just go out there talking all this stuff about maintenance,
mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, I try and stay in my lane as much as possible and learn from what I can when I can.
Yeah. So, in other words, you're just be genuine. You want to be genuine, be yourself, because once you start trying to be somebody who you're not, it'll break down a confidence, because eventually you don't be like, okay, I kind of ran out of, you know, ideas on what to say here. I'm like, well, I really don't know what I'm doing. People will sniff that out, so that's good. And then on the article I was talking about in the Harvard Business Review, and then solicit feedback regularly, and I think that's something that you've done time and time again. After, you know, whenever we complete something, we have, you know, as a team or with specific individuals, you always ask for a little after action, like, hey, how did this go? What could be done better? And, you know, moving forward, this is the way, and I think that's worked quite well. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, so we're going to go into a little break. When we get back, we're going to continue talking about the topic of, you know, getting into a field where you really don't have experience in and how exactly to make things work. All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, guys, we're back from the break. So the topics that we're going to get into from the break are working in the field and being in charge of something that you have little understanding of, and also just managing your expectations of yourself at that point, and also the expectations of others. So Dan, right before the break, we talked about what it's kind of been like for you coming in day one. What would you say about the whole the field aspect, like going into the maintenance field? What are some things that you do to keep yourself in check and could just continue that growth for yourself?
The number one thing is know your place, I think. As I said earlier, like, the big thing is, like, in my position, I am basically just a liaison from, like, our super higher to our unit leadership. And if I just start trying to jump in, especially day one, if I just jump in, I'm like, we're going to do it this way. Because I know for a fact that we're going to be more efficient by doing it this way. But no, if you observe and kind of take, like, a little bit of here and there, then we can have an honest assessment of it. Because sometimes having an outsider perspective does help. But at the same time, like, for example, we're trying to create this training aspect, this training in the next couple months. And again, I don't know very much about maintenance. And I've been here for 7-8 months now, 6 or 7 months now. And so, like, yes, I came out with a very rough outline. And I pitched it to my first audience last week. And thankfully, they tore it completely down. But then they also rebuilt it. And it severely helped. So I typed up what's called a letter of instruction and did a draft of that. And now those gentlemen are going to review that. And they're going to break it down and tear it up again. And then we're going to rebuild it again. And then we're going to brief it to the number twos in each of the sections. And they're going to break it down and tear it up again. And then we're going to rebuild it. And it's about using the subject matter experts within that field to allow you to go from being like shooting for the moon and shooting to Mars, and then basically being like, let's shoot for the moon instead. It's a little more reasonable. We can get there by stretching a little bit more than we're used to, but at the same time, it's doable.
Yeah.
You also learn quite a bit when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you make a plan, you talk to your subject matter experts. You hear their criticisms. They tell you why they would do something specific way. You can take from it.
Yeah. And I don't know what it was like for you, Ryan, but when I got back from... So, obviously, me and you both did, you know, special duty assignments. You were a combat instructor. I was on recruiting duty, so I was a recruiter. You're pretty much out of your field for 3 years, and we all know that times change, you know, and that's because of technology, the people coming in, people coming out. So you essentially come back, and especially for you, me and you, that I don't know if you've ever been in a unit that's this big, a company this big before. I never have. For me, this is a whole new experience. So, you know, starting day one, I can't just, you know, it's kind of like Dan just mentioned, I can't just go in and, you know, break down everybody's blocks and like, no, we're going to build the building with, you know, with these blocks this way. So what I did is kind of just observe like the business processes of how exactly business is conducted here. And from there, use my resources, whether that be reading material, whether that be reaching out to your experts like good old Herb, you know, and just really finding out, hey, what's going on here, you know.
So I think for me, coming back here from SOI wasn't as painful. Going to SOI was painful because from like, I knew one thing, our field for, 8 years?
Right.
And then you go into a different field, a completely different environment, mentality almost, and you have to basically get changed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to change who you, well, I don't want to say who you are, but kind of like how you think about things.
Yeah.
And coming back here, I think, honestly, SOI helped set me up to come to a place like this, because... I mean, 300 total manpower. We used to train 300. We used to train 440 privates maximum, just privates, not even including instructors. So,
right.
there's that aspect. And, like, you know, having your own section or squad or team, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I had that as well when I was over there. So I kind of got set up. So coming here wasn't as painful. I think relearning the maintenance portion, yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts to come back to you after right. a while. But I don't, I mean, honestly, I think going out there too, I don't know how it was with you with recruiting, mm-hmm. but for me, going to SOI, that was the most painful part.
Yeah. So recruiting for me, it was, honestly, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm a people person or I don't
was
know.
It easy?
But so the whole, you know, talking to people, that aspect, it didn't really bother me. I'd say the part that was probably the most painful was just learning how we do things, because just like you said, it's kind of like you're learning a whole new job.
Yeah.
You know, so just learning the processes, procedures, and you're constantly just getting beat up. Like, hey, you messed up on this again. You messed up on that. Eventually, you fine tune it, and then next thing you know, like, hey, you got a year left, or yeah. you're almost done with this, and like, I mean, you're kind of you're excited to go back to your field, but at the same time, it's like, man,
you literally just mastered this craft.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have less than a year left, and now you're leaving.
Yeah.
When you could have stayed there maybe even longer.
Yeah.
As a, you know, good multiplier to the actual mission.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
I mean, thankfully, my first year and a half, I did, it's kind of weird, but I actually did better my first year and a half. And that's because we had an excellent team. We all just happen to work well together.
Yeah.
But I'd say more the administrative side is what I mastered most of. But the whole people aspect, like going and talking to people and helping them transition and, you know, become United States Marines, I'd say that part kind of came easy to me. And then when I meant by, like, coming over here, for me, I guess the difficult part was just because this is probably, I don't know about you, but this is the first time, like, okay, there's a lot of guys that are leaders just like me, you know? Like,
yeah.
what are we all doing here? What exactly, you know, once you learn what the mission is, you're like, okay, how exactly do we fit and make that mission happen? So.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, but I do like that perspective that you brought. Now, this kind of, like, goes with what we're talking about. But now, what about managing expectations of yourself and managing expectation of others? You know, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, a note that I have is employee expectations. If they are unaddressed, they lead to reduced morale and lower employee engagement. Mm-hmm. So, meaning that if your employees or your team, whoever, they don't know what their expectations are, they have no road to or path to follow, so
right.
they're not really going to give you everything that they got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think it's also clearly defining their roles. And I think that's how we have that problem here. It's always something that gets brought up is that, like, our guys downstairs, our guys that work on the shop floor, they don't really know where they fit into the grand scheme of the United States Marine Corps.
Right.
All they see is, I fix truck, I push truck out, truck goes away, and I never see it again.
Yeah. And if they don't know where they're going, that could be very damaging to the culture
yep.
of that workplace. And me and you, I think all three of us have seen that, you know, in recent times, that when you have employees that have no idea what they're doing, they don't see the bigger picture. It could be damaging because morale goes down. They don't see the point. They don't see the value that they're bringing. So it could be damaging. What are some ways that, you know, you establish, you know, expectations on both sides of the spectrum?
Are you talking about, like, well, okay, I think I see what you're saying. So, for me, I think when I establish expectations for people that I work with, or I guess we'll say work underneath me,
mm-hmm.
we'll say that, I just honest to God, kind of bring it to the side and tell them what I expect. And sometimes it's just a matter of a trial and error process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where they work for a week, and either I'll see them jump for the moon or jump for the Mars,
mm-hmm.
Pluto, whatever. whatever Danny likes to do.
Planet 29 on the third galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or they'll freaking, they won't do anything. They'll just stay on Earth and eat donuts.
Yeah.
So I'll have any spectrum. I'll have to mentor them on either way and be like, hey, these are the expectations, man. This project, this is your left and right. You need to stay within that left and right and not go outside of it, and here's why. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you have to be a little bit more forceful. Sometimes it's just a little simple topic talking to, but...
Yeah. So, maybe like 2 weeks ago, Dan and I, we had a meeting with our guys, and we kind of discussed this topic as far as, like, whenever they talk to their subordinates, going over expectations, because sometimes we're very, you know, black and white with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but sometimes it could be better. Like, and we do this by establishing more of a open communication. So whenever you meet with that person for the first time, or, you know, following times, you guys kind of go over like, hey, how are you doing? Based on what our organization is trying to accomplish, what are goals that you want to accomplish? What do you want to do better? And from there, you know, between you and the subordinate, you're kind of going over like deadlines. Hey, let's you know, make some deadlines. You know, all these are arbitrary, you know, but the point is we try to give them a carrot for them to follow, so to speak.
It's mentorship.
Yeah, it's mentorship.
One of our most infamous Marines, General Jane Mattis, would talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
I think I remember watching an interview with him where he said that most of the time that he's working, it's all mentoring.
Yeah.
I think, like he said, like maybe like 10 or 5% of his day is, you know, actual command and control. The rest of the 90% of his day is mentoring wow. everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the majority of what his job is. And that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the more you pick up rank, the more you climb on the ladder, the more it's about mentorship.
Yeah.
And trying to get these guys on the right path. And I mean, it's funny you bring up, like, hey, what do you want to do? What do you want to make?
Mm-hmm.
How to make yourself better? Because it's all about development, right?
Exactly.
Development. And I actually have a little side note here about development. 2016 study by the Association of Talent Development
mm-hmm.
found organizations that develop their people boast 218% higher income per employee, 24% higher profit margin.
Wow.
So when you allow development, it makes it better. Now, the thing about it is, though,
mm-hmm.
what I've found with development, especially with a lot of our young bucks here,
right.
if you try to push them to develop, you have to push them.
Right.
You know, because mm-hmm. I've sat down with some of these guys and I've said, hey, what do you want to do? Oh, well, I want to do school. Okay, cool. Yeah. So tell me what you want to do about school. We'll talk about it, you know, in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Next week comes around. Hey, so-and-so, what'd you find out about school? Oh, I haven't really looked into it yet.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you mean you haven't looked into it yet? And that's where the mentorship kind of piece comes in. Right. Like, oh, our organization is going towards a direction.
Right.
Where if you want to stay in, you're going to need an associate at some point. You want to stay in, right? Well, yes, I do. So you should probably start looking into getting associates.
Yep.
Okay, next week. So what'd you find out? I haven't found out anything yet. I might want to go to this university or do that. Like,
yeah. And sometimes, like, they do things without really knowing. Like, oh, actually I have done that. But sometimes they kind of, like, undervalue their tasks. But I know exactly what you're talking about when it comes to that. And one thing that I found interesting is whenever you let them, you know, establish these goals, it makes it more about, like, them. And now when you tell them, like, hey, man, you're the one that said you want to accomplish this, you know, just like you were, like, saying right now. And to me, it kind of, they feel more of a sense of, like, accountability because, like, crap, you know, I'm not a person of my word, you know. So...
It doesn't hit some people, though. It's weird.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's weird. But, again, that's why in our organization, just like many others, some excel and some stay where they're at or they move along. And that's just how it is. Yeah. Dan, what you got?
I think that I actually really completely agree with Ryan's take on it. It's like, and then your general, your final assessment on it, especially from where I'm sitting, there's there's, if people want to actually put in the effort, they'll excel. And this goes all the way back to my time when I was a personal trainer in college. And people would come to me and be like, oh, I want X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, cool, here's how you have to do it. And then probably within a week or two, they cancel appointments.
Oh, boy.
And, or they say, I've actually gained weight. And I say, well, what did you do? And they said, well, I had McDonald's last night. It's like, okay. It's like, what'd you eat? They're like, two or three Big Macs. And you're like, okay. Okay, well, that's a problem, man. Yeah. Like, you're like, and then they're like, well, your workouts aren't doing it for me. Like, or you're just not putting in the correct amount of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and that's honestly what it boils down to. Like, you have to be able to acknowledge when you're jacked up. And there's going to be more than enough times for everybody when they've jacked up. Myself included. I mess up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to take the punch in the face and just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are going to hurt more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, if you refuse to acknowledge that you're not flawed, you don't ever learn.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, what a lot of guys that we work with, especially our juniors, they run into is they're like, well, I messed up once, and now the command hates me. Well, now whoever hates me. And like, yes, there are some commands who absolutely work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a travesty when a guy catches a certain punishment and then their career is ruined because they're just never given a second chance. They're deemed a dirtbag or whatever.
Right.
But, like, at the end of the day, like, they committed a virginly a minor infraction on the grand scheme of things.
Right.
And forgive me for saying this, but they're young and dumb.
Yeah.
Like, we were all young and dumb.
Exactly.
And it's, you have to be able to give them the opportunity to grow and to ruin someone's life.
Yes.
For a simple mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It ruins their own expectations.
Yeah.
And it hurts not only yourself with helping them to develop and to allow them to reach their own expectations and your expectations of them, but it also hurts you as their leader.
Yeah.
To, because you now are just so jaded and thinking like, oh, this person, they screwed up. And you're like, I don't like them because they screwed up.
Yeah.
And now you, as soon as anyone messes up, you're like, they're irredeemable. And that just hurts you as a leader.
Right.
You have to keep an open mind. You have to keep telling yourself that, like, hey, they messed up. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. How can I help them to get better?
Exactly.
And if they keep messing up, maybe they're just one of those people who just, they're irredeemable.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah. But you have to give them that chance.
You have to give them that chance. Mm-hmm. Is really what it boils down to, because if you don't, you're just as bad as them.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
And it's crazy that you said that, that some organizations, you know, run that way, that hey, he messed up once and they don't give that person a second chance, because we have no idea that the talent that's being missed out on. Because Ryan, I don't know about you, I know Dan's seen it, but you know, sometimes like this person, you know, that, you know, when they get in trouble and now they're deemed a screw up, that person might have offered so much value. Like, I've seen people that at one point they were looked at as water walkers. Like, they're able to do everything. You know, they're, you know, a one-man team that's doing, like, a job of, like, 10 people or more. And he's just running circles around everyone. And then they have one little hiccup, and now all trust and confidence is lost in that person, which I've always found kind of strange.
Well, let's put it in more context, though. So you're right, like, you have that water walker, it'll run circles. Now if they mess up, well what is the mess up? Because, I mean, I know for me as a leader, like, I'm not, my personal opinion isn't going to change of the person, you know, I'm going to treat the person the same as anybody else. But at the same time, you say trust and confidence, like, some trust and confidence is going to get lost.
Right.
I'm not going to hate the person.
Yeah.
You know, that's just morally and ethically wrong in my opinion, but I mean, and a working standpoint, if they screw up in some way, like, yeah, the trust is going to get lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to earn it back.
Right, right, right.
So it's all the how did they mess up? And yeah. Is it malicious?
Exactly.
Was malicious intent behind it?
Yeah.
So.
No, that's a good point. You have to, I guess, really understand what happened. What do they do? And then some things, you know, are going to be different than others, you know? Some things are more a whole lot more minor than, you know, first degree murder, obviously, and you know, but it, guys, it's getting time to wrap up. Any final thoughts? I think, you know, you gentlemen brought in some good perspectives to today's topics. This is a very enjoyable podcast for me.
I'm glad.
Yeah. You guys are actually fun to talk to.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I have to say with Dan, Dan's my boss, so you know, I can't really. But any final thoughts, guys?
Good.
Okay. Ryan, anything from you?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Guys, I want to appreciate you all for joining us. I hope you found this very valuable. I know I did. And I hope you guys can apply this to your work life.